Dennis Stanley filling in tonight for Patty Vasquez. She'll be back with you on Monday. Nick DiGilio will be up at 2 o'clock. It's nice to have everybody getting back in the swing. And Monday, Patty will be back. I mentioned earlier that there are two seasons in Chicago, winter and construction, that's usually applied to roadway projects. However, this city is ever-evolving, especially when it comes to architecture. It's one of the things we're known for. It's one of the things that people come here to see and enjoy and learn about. And joining me right now from Curbed Chicago is AJ Latres. How are you?
Hey, Anna. Good evening. Good morning.
Well, whatever. I'm super cool with either. It's very confusing. Patty, a long time ago, came up with the rule that until she went to bed, it was still the previous day. So
exactly.
In my brain, it's still Wednesday. I play by Patty's rules. It's Patty's show. So we are heading into spring, she says, hopefully. But we are at the point, much like at Halloween, the Christmas stuff is already up. When we get into the January, you over there and the fine people at Curbed Chicago and Curbed nationally, you already know what's coming down the pike as far as projects to look out for and really cool, exciting things that are happening. Tell us some of the stuff you're looking forward to.
Yeah. So, you know, as you mentioned, in the intro, you know, Chicago has a long history and legacy for its architecture and, you know, groundbreaking design and engineering and things of this sort. And the city has been experiencing in the last couple of years a major construction boom, primarily in the sort of rental market, like new apartment towers and also new hotel projects. But a couple of big things are on the way. A super tall tower, which is actually a term by Studio Gang here in Chicago, which is headed up by G Gang, is under construction. The project's called Vista Tower. Sales kicked off almost about a year ago for that project, and that's going into the Lakeshore East community. There's a few other things coming up.
A follow-up question. One, I love Lakeview East. I was a Lakeview East resident before it really existed. Lakeshore East. Thank you. That's what I meant. I lived over by there next to the in Columbus Plaza next to the Hyatt. That was my home for a little while. It was great. And I had a great view, and I don't know that I would if I lived there now. Just of other buildings. But when you say a super tall tower, is that it's not a high rise? It is a high rise. What categorizes that?
Yeah. So basically, it's a tower that's going to be over 900 feet tall. So basically, you know, Chicago and New York are both known for having really tall buildings, you know, some of the tallest buildings in the world. But it's not every day that you see a building at that stature built in Chicago.
Right. But 900 feet is going to be John Hancock Sears Tower type scale.
Right. It's going to be one of the tallest buildings in Chicago. I believe it'll be the third tallest building.
Okay.
It's still unsure how it's going to be measured, whether, you know, from lower Wacker to its peak.
Mm. Or lower Wacker. Right.
Exactly. So there's some room for debate there. But, yeah, and then there's actually a couple other big things. You know, folks who may work downtown and walk along Wacker Drive on the western end of the loop may have seen a pair of buildings under construction over the last year or so. That pair is expected to be completed this year. The one is called 150 North Riverside. It's kind of an unusual design. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's almost like a tuning fork, where it's a really narrow at the base and then kind of expands at the top.
It's a very good description of it.
Yeah, and then that's going to be an office building, and that will be opening shortly. And then just so many other things here. Actually, just today, it was announced that the construction started on a new 76-story project from the architect Raphael Vignoli for the South Loop area. And this is definitely one that will sort of fill out the skyline on the southern end of Grant Park. You know, as you know, having lived near the Lakeshore East area, mm-hmm. a lot of our city's density, at least in the downtown area, is really concentrated around the Loop or Streeterville, River North. But this will be the tallest tower in the South Loop if it is completed.
Yeah, this is something that we Chicagoans, but the architecture powers that be within the city take our skyline really, really seriously. They analyze adding these buildings. That's why I'm interested with both of these. One, the super tall tower, and then also this new tower in the South Loop, because that will be, if you stand at the planetarium and look towards the city, which in my opinion is the best view of the skyline.
Oh, hands down. Easily.
Okay, good. See, I love validation for this. Thank you. Thank you. But it's so lovely. And so this will be on your left as you look at the city. This is going to be a new bookend for it.
Yeah, I will. And the other thing that's really interesting about it, I think, is that, and this is not confirmed, this is just, you know, kind of our interpretation here, is that the design borrows from the bundled tube design of the Sears Tower, or as most people today call it, the Willis Tower. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it, it's kind of cool because it's not only like a big tower that makes a statement and stands out in the skyline, it kind of pays back to our history and our city's legacy and architectural legacy.
So it gives homage to who we are as a city.
Yeah, exactly. And it fits in in Chicago. And that's what's really kind of a really interesting thing, is that, like you said, you know, people take architecture seriously here, and we should, you know, frankly, when we talk about, you know, the things that Chicago is good at, we're good at building really tall buildings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you see in other countries or other places, these kind of like really wild, like blobby type of designs. And in fact, even in China, they've now sort of proposed rules or ordinances to kind of pull back on some of these really eccentric, you know, designs. But in this case, you know, we're going through a boom period right now in Chicago. But the good news is that we're going to get some good buildings out of it.
This is something that I actually get pretty excited about, watching these buildings go up. One of the ones, this is a little bit of a strange reference. When I was here down in the city commuting every single day, there was a building on Wacker that they were putting up that was supposed to be, I believe, the Mandarin Oriental or the Mandarin Hotel. And then it went... I mean, that the construction site went away. We just had this frame.
It was supposed to be a Shangri-La hotel.
Okay.
And and that was one of those things where it's like, you know, you're saying how we have the ability to sort of predict or know what's happening. But, you know, in the case of that situation, it's when the bottom falls out of the economy, everything stops. And it doesn't affect just, you know, you know, we're watching the news and we see things about like, oh, jobs are down or this is down. Like we actually, like you said, in our own cities, we can actually see these construction sites literally coming to a halt. These projects almost becoming, you know, sort of unfinished skeletons. Mm-hmm. But that project that you're referring to actually was eventually completed. It's now called 111. It's an apartment tower.
Okay.
But one famous project I'm sure you know of that has not been, that was never made it off the ground, but we're still waiting to see what will happen with it, is the former Chicago Spire.
Yes.
That was supposed to be a 2,000-foot tall, you know, mega tall tower. You know, it was very, very ambitious.
Very Dubai in its scale.
Yeah, exactly. kind of, Yeah, definitely sort of trying to, you know, push Chicago back on the global stage when it comes to, you know, building design and architecture. But that was definitely a casualty of the recession and perhaps maybe even just, you know, being a little overly zealous in scope. However, the developer that owns the property has promised, you know, through press releases and statements and so forth, has promised to deliver an architecturally significant building at the site. So,
and the Architecture Foundation said, "We'll be the judge of that."
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm sure all the internet commenters will be the judge of that.
Exactly. Hey, AJ, hold on, if you would, please. We're going to take a break. Sure. I have two questions coming up. One involves the very building that I am sitting in.
Okay.
This is important for sure to those of us who work here, but also just given the historic nature of this building, I want to know some stuff about it. And one other one coming up. More after this with AJ LaTrace. Hannah Stanley filling in for Patty Vasquez and WGN. Hannah Stanley here on WGN with you until 2. It's almost, that was rhymey enough that it reminds me of something that happened earlier today that we'll play later. Rhyme Fest. It was really cool. In the meantime, AJ LaTrace is on the phone with me. You know him from Curbed Chicago. They do great work over there at Curbed. I like that website. If I ever have questions about something that's going on, you guys are all over it. The question I have... Yeah, you're welcome. The question I have right now is what's going on with the parking lot right behind me, which this building, Tribune Tower, has been sold. In attached with that sale is a surface lot that is very, very convenient to those of us who work here.
Yeah, so, you know, to the listeners out there who may not be exactly familiar, the Tribune Tower is one of the most iconic high-rises in Chicago. It's a tall neo-Gothic, really interesting, visually interesting building. And as you said, there's a parking lot next door to it. And basically what we're seeing here is a big redevelopment in play. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you know, if we take a look around what's been happening on Michigan Avenue, what we've been seeing are, you know, hotels, you know, new retail projects. For example, there's a new Apple store being built right there.
Across the river.
At the Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah, across the street from us. Yeah.
Bridge. So, you know, it very well could be a mix of all of the above. And, you know, that's probably our best guess. But, it's a very valuable piece of property. You know, obviously being a surface parking lot in the middle of Michigan Avenue, underutilized piece of land. So
it really doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. So basically whatever they put there is going to be essentially a better use, you know.
I beg to differ, AJ.
Well,
no, it does make sense to put in for sure some sort of parking structure in the base of it, but then to build beyond either mixed use, commercial, et cetera, especially with Pioneer Court attached to us where they can walk right around and would be able to access that building without a ton of infrastructural. That's a word I just made up. But you don't have to change a lot of things. We don't have to add a street. You can get access to it from a couple of different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really fascinating. I mean, so there's a new term, you know, I don't know if it's going to stick or not. It's kind of one of these sort of how just like, you know, developer kind of proposed terms called the millennial mile. So obviously we all know the Magnificent Mile,
yeah,
you know, on Michigan Avenue north of the river. But we've been seeing a lot of development just south of the bridge. For example, the London House Hotel, which opened last summer. There's a brand new apartment tower at Michigan and Lake that also opened last summer.
Well, and the reinvention of some of those spaces. Pucci was always there on that second floor, and now it's been taken over by the Blackhawk store at 333 North Michigan Avenue. That's where it is.
So you can pick up a Tribune and your Blackhawks flag in the same spot, basically.
In the same spot.
Yeah, exactly.
It really has made a difference for foot traffic. It was always very crowded the further north you would go, over by Water Tower. But now even up here, because we do have far more retail, because this land is incredibly valuable, Apple is going to change the game up here, I think, along the river.
I mean, there's no doubt. And you know, Apple, you know, obviously Apple's kind of manifesto is their design. You know, they're on the back of all their products. It says, you know, designed by Apple in California. And, you know, we're getting this wild new store. And it's not just some store. This is designed by Sir Norman Foster, you know, a very famous British architect. This project is expected to cost somewhere in like the $60 million range. So this isn't just a retail store. This is a really big statement from Apple. And it's also something that's going to activate that stretch of the river.
Again, yeah, even more so. The one question I have for you before we bring our time to an end, AJ, this is the one that I don't know if there's an answer to this. Maybe this has moved forward and I'm unaware of it. That post office has sat empty above the Eisenhower for, I feel, decades. What can be done with this?
You know, that's one of, basically what you just said is what every person in Chicago who's ever driven on the Eisenhower by it has said. You know, basically to the point where the city council has gotten fed up with it sitting empty. So long story short, the previous owner of that building, in a very bizarre twist, you know, the mayor basically gave him a limited time to sell the building. He worked out a deal and then passed away essentially right after the deal closed. But it is in new hands now. And it's really like a major untapped resource. And as we said with the Tribune Tower redevelopment, you know, we could see all of the above. You know, it could be, you know, a mix of hotel, apartment rental, office, things of that sort. So again, it's hard to pinpoint, but there's already some sort of really preliminary early renderings of like a rooftop, sort of like a rooftop landscape deck for office users to use, similar to like how the Merchandise Mart had for the Motorola folks.
Didn't they, wasn't there a fire there not long ago?
It always catches on fire.
Right? Like, I mean, 8 times or something?
Yeah, it's like every 2 years it catches on fire, you know?
Maybe that's why it's a bad idea to put stuff in there.
No, I'm sure, you know, again, it's like, I think, you know, buildings are, you know, sort of living, breathing beasts. I mean, they really do need to, you know, have people using them to stay, just to stay together essentially. But yeah, that's going to be a really major project, really major, you know, development to watch in the coming months.
But they've had proposals for usage for residential, and they've not gone through. Where is the holdup in? Is it the scale? Are these developers backing out? Is the city council not approving it? How is this not working so far?
So the previous proposals were all from the previous owner. Is a man named John Davies. Again, kind of an eccentric character. He scooped it up. I mean, for essentially for nothing, for how big, you know, how valuable of an asset it is. And, you know, over the years, he proposed these just kind of pie-in-the-sky type of proposals with, you know, hundreds of apartments or hundreds of condos or things of this sort. And none of it really seemed to be that serious. But again, I think the city, you know, we saw all these other places and all these other sort of legacy buildings being redeveloped. You know, another one that we're going to keep an eye on is the old Cook County Hospital, for example. So, you know, the city saw all these old buildings being redeveloped, and, you know, this developer has the post office that isn't doing anything with it. Again, they sort of forced his hand. He's out of it now, and the redevelopment is going forward with the old post office. In fact, I think just a couple of months ago, we had a reader spot a crew on site, actually, I think, beginning the sort of exterior sort of, you know, how would you say, assessment to, you know, because it's going to be quite a big renovation project to get that thing together.
Especially, like you mentioned, it's been sitting underutilized, we'll say, for the past, 15, 20 years. So, I mean, pressure washing alone is something that I would love to do just to get it, to get
just
a little tidied.
It clean, exactly, is going to take a long time.
Tuck so. Pointing can wait. We gotta clean this up. People are coming to town.
And I think that's the fear the mayor had and that, you know, the city council had is that, you know, we all know what, you know, how the economy works. It's not always going to be this upward trajectory. There are ups and downs and there are dips and flows. And so right now, you know, things are good. And so, you know, we have this massive building that's just begging to be redeveloped. And this is kind of our chance right now. And if we miss this chance, you know, who knows how long it will be until, you know, we can get to it.
It seems like that could really spawn more development over there. And it's actually not that far from the old Cook County Hospital. So, you know, we're sort of running out of new frontiers. So we just have to start redeveloping some areas that have maybe fallen by the wayside. And that would be a good one.
That's exactly what's happening right now. In fact, areas like River North have really hit critical mass mm-hmm. to the point where, you know, developers who are looking to build new office space are actually kind of heading up the river towards older industrial sites like Goose Island and the Finkel Steel site in Lincoln Park, places like that.
Yeah, I remember when Montgomery Ward became condos, and I thought that was just genius. And now that whole neighborhood is very vibrant and alive. But having have some institutional memory of the city and how these neighborhoods have been empty lots and then watch them pop right up. I mean, thank you, Oprah, for the West Side.
It's pretty wild. No, it really is. It's fascinating to see. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, there are still opportunities left, but I think it's just kind of coming down to the point where, you know, I think developers by nature, you know, they're kind of risk adverse. I mean, especially when you look at big projects like the post office renovation,
right.
that's not something that just Joe Schmo developer can do. It's
no.
going to be, you know, a major, major undertaking. So I think, you know, again, when the times are good, you know, that's sort of when we see these really big movements. And right now, you know, we've been mapping on Curb Chicago, all the development happening in the West Loop.
Yeah.
There are dozens of projects. And when I say dozens, I mean literally dozens of new construction projects in that one neighborhood right now. And
right.
a lot of these are office projects, apartment, mixed use, you know, things with retail, restaurant space.
Right. Because when we were first looking, that was the place we were looking to buy a condo, was the West Loop. And it was very interesting because over the course of, you know, let's say 2 years from casually looking to really getting serious, every building seemed to be a loft building that had a surface lot behind it. And then like within 2 years, all those surface lots were gone because that land was too valuable. And that's why I moved to the suburbs. So this is something I wish I could talk to you for hours and hours about this. It really is a living, breathing thing, the architecture of the city. The website where you can find AJ's writing and all of the stuff he's behind is, of course, curbed.com. And then you click on Chicago, or you can just do curbed.com. What is it? /Chicago, right?
Chicago.curb.com.
See, it's so fancy, you guys, with your efficiency. AJ, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Of course.